The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Tell you what, spring is just around the corner. I know some of you don't believe me. Really is. It's coming, and with spring, also, we're going to be having some special services. We're calling these awakening services. Hallelujah. Who wants to be awake?
Yes, hallelujah.
You know, the Apostle Paul said that it's imperative that we stay awake, that we're awake all the time, that we do not allow ourselves to sleep as believers in Jesus Christ. And he's talking about spiritual sleep, spiritual apathy. And let me tell you something, today in our nation, there is spiritual apathy all over the place. Those who preach and teach in third world nations say that people are coming to Jesus Christ in droves. Miracles are happening. Healings are taking place. All these things are happening because people believe what is being preached. Here in the United States today, few believe in the Word of God. I know that's pretty harsh, but I'm one of them. You know, I'm part of the body of Christ here in the United States, and we just have a hard time believing in the power of God. Maybe it's because we have too many resources. Take away some of our doctors. You know? Well, I don't know. I think maybe our government's working on that. I don't know what the answer is. All I know is that we need our hearts stirred toward Almighty God. We need an awakening. And we need an awakening here at Bethel Worship Center. I believe this church, for the most part, is alive. We have a group of people that truly want God and want the things of God, but we still need more awakening. So I just want to encourage you, we are going to start next week, next Monday, not this coming Monday, next Monday, which is what, the 9th? Okay. We're going to start maybe the 8th. It's the 8th? Okay. I've got the 8th written down. We're going to start a prayer and fasting preparation for the awakening services. We have two anointed men of God that are coming here to preach and teach the Word of God. One is an Apostle John Kelly. You will be blown away by Apostle Kelly. You need to be here for that. You need to get people here for that. You will receive incredible blessing from Apostle Kelly. The other, most of you already know, Ryan Johnson. Ryan is coming back, and he's going to preach the last half of our awakening services. I'm expecting incredible things to take place. Ryan is ready. Ryan's pumped up. Ryan is expecting God to move. Both of these men, they know that it is time for a great awakening to take place in our nation. It can begin here. Or at least we can be part of it. It can start here and there and over there and everywhere else. I don't care where it starts. Just let it happen. Amen? All right, so we're going to start that. And then that week, Wednesday evening, we're going to have some special prayer time here in our sanctuary. We're going to call everybody in for worship. Those of you who have life groups, I want you to suspend your life group, whatever night you have it. Direct people to this service on Wednesday night for prayer and seeking the face of God. As we pray and fast, we're going to do some worship. We're going to just get in the presence of God so that he will move, so that we can have expectation. He always wants to move, but so that we can have expectation of his moving. All right, these are going to be powerful services on Wednesday evenings. Come and be a part of that. All right, everybody excited?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. We get a little more excited than that, can't we? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, I think I covered just about everything I wanted to make sure that I'm covering here. I want to tell you what we're calling our services on Wednesday night is Appeal to Heaven. Appeal to Heaven. Most of you were probably here when I shared some information about Dutch Sheets and the message that he's going all over the nation preaching, an appeal to heaven. He has a specific flag. Did we bring that flag? Oh, almost done with it? Okay, great. That would be great if we could have that here. Appeal to heaven. We have some smaller ones, which we'll put those up as well. But we've got this great big one. This is awesome, and I appreciate it. People that worked on that. Get it all back together. So on Wednesday evenings, we're going to do an appeal to heaven for our awakening services. And the reason that we feel like appeal to heaven is so important is that early on in our nation, George Washington commissioned that these flags be made. Most of you have seen them. They have a pine tree on them, and it says appeal to heaven. And many of our forefathers truly believed that they needed God in their midst as they stood against Great Britain. So they appealed to heaven. And I'm going to tell you right now, we are in a battle. We're in a battle for our families. We're in a battle for our communities. We're in a battle for our nation. If we do not get serious about seeking our God and seeing the move of God in the midst of the turmoil that's taking place, we may not have an opportunity in the future to do that. We need to appeal to heaven. So I'm asking you to come and be a part of these Appeal to Heaven services, preparing for the great awakening services that we believe God is going to bring here at Bethel Worship Center. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Good things coming. A lot of great things coming to Bethel Worship Center. Are you ready? Are you expecting? Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. As long as we have expectation, and we trust our God, we put our faith in our God, things will happen. There's no doubt about it. All right. This morning, I want to start a message called A Separate and Necessary Part. A Separate but Necessary Part. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. That's where I took this from in the New Living Translation Bible. And it says, 1 Corinthians 12, 27, now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. We are all a part of the body of Christ. It's very important that we recognize that we, here at Bethel Worship Center, this church is a part of the collective body of Christ. Worldwide. No matter where it is, the farthest reaches of the world, if there's a part of the body there, we're a part of that body. We all are to function as a worldwide body of Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's some out there that call themselves the body of Christ or part of the body that are not part of the body. So we have to be careful. And I'm not going to try to point out anybody or say anything negative about particular parts of the body. I just want you to know that every place, in every denomination, in every part of the world, there are people that are God's people. Independent churches are no different. We have some on fire people of God and some that could care less. Don't know why they even show up sometimes. And most of the time they don't. Where's the commitment in the body of Christ? We were talking about this the other day in our Soma River Zone gathering. And one of the pastors said, it's not just church, it's society. He said, look at society. Look at people. No one really wants to commit to anything anymore. People have a really hard time committing. We're so busy doing this, doing that, doing all kinds of things. And everybody, if you can give 50%, they think that's 100% commitment. So it's not just the church, it's just part, it's flowing over into the church. And praise God, if we have anything to do about it here at Bethel Worship Center, we're going to teach the body of Christ how to be the body of Christ. Amen. Not only in church, but in the world. Let me tell you something. It doesn't take much in the world today to be excellent. You don't even have to be excellent. You just have to be better than everybody else, and that don't take a whole lot. Yeah, any of you guys who have businesses, you know what I'm talking about. You understand how difficult it is to get somebody who will be committed, show up every day, and do their very best in everything that they do. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ should be different. If you call yourself a Christian and you're a part of Bethel Worship Center, you should go out of here and make me proud, make the church proud, and make Jesus Christ proud of who you are. You know, I should be able to walk around like this. You know, Todd's a part of Bethel Worship Center. Amen. You know? Yeah, you know that Tony Maxey? Got that business out there in Tupper's Plains.
That's right.
He goes to Bethel Worship Center. Hallelujah.
That's right.
I'm not that arrogant, please, believe me. But, really, we should be able to say that kind of stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
Otis and Ivy Cochran are our worship leaders. Hallelujah. I'm proud to say that wherever I go. They're excellent in everything that they do. So we have to learn to walk in that excellence inside and outside of the Church of Jesus Christ. Being a part of the body, as much of the body as we can possibly be. Romans 12:4. Let's look at that real quick. And then we're going to look. And we'll come back to that, so hold that place. Romans 12. We'll be coming back to that this morning. Let's go ahead and go back. We'll read 1 through 4. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Boy, right there is exactly what I was talking about. That's it. Present your bodies and everything that you do to Almighty God. It's just a reasonable expectation. It's your reasonable service. It's not anything outstanding. Don't get the big head just because you're doing what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Just do it.
That's right.
Don't expect somebody to pat you on the back every time you do something right.
Yes,
it's nice to have somebody recognize, and we try to do our best to recognize those in this congregation who are giving forth a lot of effort. Praise God. But man, if you live on needing assurance from other people, you're going to be a miserable individual.
Yes, sir.
You've got to know that you're doing the best you can do, and you're doing it to please the Father. Because you love Him. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. How are you going to keep from being a part of the world? What's going to keep you from being conformed to this world? Having a transformed mind. What transforms your mind? The Word of God transforms your mind. You must read the Word. You must meditate on the Word and speak the Word. The spoken Word is powerful.
Yes, it is.
Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So when you speak, speak life.
Yes.
Stop speaking death to your spouse.
Come on.
Listen, men, here's a novel idea. If you want a thoroughbred, stop treating her like a nag.
That's a good one.
Took you a little while, didn't it? Hallelujah. Hey, it's vice, you know, same thing.
That's right.
If you want a stud, stop treating him like a mule. Hey, this is reality. This is where we live. We have to. Some of you are embarrassed, aren't you? Hallelujah. What a good God we serve. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Okay, there is no reason for any of us to get puffed up, is there? We just do what we're supposed to do. Just be a part of the body. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So here's what we're looking at right now, is one body. One body all over the world. We are a part of that collective body. According to Ephesians 4:4, it says this, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Just one body. And we've got to recognize that we are part of that body. We're not elite. I believe Bethel Worship Center is the best place you can go to church, and you should be here.
Amen.
But we're not an elite church. We are a part of the body.
That's right.
And we want to fit in to the whole body of Christ, and we've got to look at ourselves exactly like that. The Greek word for body is soma. It means body as a sound whole. So if the whole body is going to be sound, we have to do our part to make it sound.
That's right.
One body. Human body is everything that makes up you. So the body of Christ is everything that makes up every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ. And we realize that there's some sickness in the body, right? We know that. But praise God, we have a Holy Spirit that is well able to go about and purge out that sickness. He's much better than any antibiotic we can take. He's powerful. And He is able to heal it. I believe He's in the process of healing His body right now. Amen. Glory. Let's think about this body analogy. I want you to understand that Paul used this analogy in Romans and in Corinthians both. And when you think about it, I really don't believe that Paul had any idea how significant his analogy would be even today. because he was being led by the Holy Spirit. He was just writing down what the Spirit of God was giving him. But if you think about it, how important it is for you and for me just to do our job in the body, to walk in the function that God has given us. Some of you say, well, I don't know what my function is. Well, we will help you with that. We have a spiritual gifts assessment, and we want everybody to take that, and so you can learn your spiritual gifts and apply those things. Now, will that spiritual gift assessment tell you something you don't already know? Probably not. It'll just confirm what God has already spoken to you and shown you. Because it's just a matter of finding out, understanding your gifts. But let's say that the heart would say, you know, I'm getting tired of being a heart. I'm getting tired of pumping this blood. It's just so monotonous. Just every day, day in and day out, I pump the blood. I pump it and pump it. I think I'll just stop pumping some blood for a while. I'm tired of it. You know, hey, feet, won't you come up here and do some pumping of blood? You get to just walk around wherever you want to go. You go into different places. You get to explore, and all I have to do is sit in here and pump blood. I'm going to go on strike. I'm going to stop pumping blood. What happens to the body? The body is going to die without the blood. The lungs would say to the mouth, hey, mouth, you're always spouting off, saying something. You and that tongue, you guys are two peas in a pod. Get out. Why don't you come down here? If it wasn't for me, mouth, you wouldn't be able to speak. You wouldn't have the breath to speak. I think I'm just going to take some time off. Me and lung one and lung two, we're just going to take some time off. One of us going to take some time off, and then the next one. Let's just see how much breath you have. Body, if you're alone, you need to breathe. The body needs to breathe. You need to function. The liver would say, hey, hands, why don't you come down here? This is a nasty job I have. I have to cleanse this body. It gets bad down in this place. And there you are, hands. You just go about washing all the time. Anytime you want to, you go and wash, get cleaned up, and I have to be down here with all this nasty stuff. Stop doing its job. You see how ridiculous it is for us to think about it in those terms? We are the body. Whatever it is that God has called you to, we need you. The local church needs you. The regional church needs you. The worldwide church needs you. We need you to do what God has called you to do. Amen. One body. Amen. Many members. Every part. A necessary part. Necessary but separate part. All right. If you want to read some more about this, you can go to 1 Corinthians 12 and read more about the body. Let's go on. Let's talk about, second point is, each part has a special function. Verse 4 through 8. For as we have many members in one body, this is Romans 12. Chapter 12, verse 4 through 8. But all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Many different parts of the body. And in Corinthians, Paul outlines it, and he talks about the different parts of the body, being how important each and every one of them, and how if one would say, I don't want to be the ear any longer, I don't want to be the nose, I don't want to be a certain part, how that affects the whole body. Each part has a special function, for we are many members in one body. Now, each and every one of us need to understand that we get our gifts, our spiritual gifts, from the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ as our personal Savior, we have impartation of gifts. Now, some of you, you may not know what your gifts are. Some of you may know what your gifts are, but it's important that you operate in those gifts. Praise God. Jane Abbott said to me the other day, she said, I don't know if I have any other gift but hospitality. Man, what a great gift. It's awesome, Jane.
Yes, it is.
Now, I got a feeling you probably have some other gifts. And all of us, likewise, feel that way. But that's an awesome gift. Hospitality is incredible. The body of Christ needs hospitality. And I can vouch for her. She is wonderful. But before Edgar passed away, we went to their house and had a meal with them, and we felt so welcome, so encouraged. We need that. We need that spirit in the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. That's right. I forgot we went down there for that ice cream. Woo! Good stuff. Yeah, you could see your gift of hospitality there with all those people. My goodness. It was good. All right. Well, let's talk about this a little bit. Each part having a function, because I want to kind of break it down into worldwide, regional, and local body. Because I believe that even though Paul had no idea how significant his analogy was, it really fits the body of Christ worldwide. Because this body that we have it's a complex machine, the human body. It has many little parts all over it. And one of the smallest units in any organism is a cell. Now, cells are very important because they can function individually or they can function collectively. You know, scientists actually say that they look like little machines and they function so well. Isn't that incredible? Only an awesome creator like our God could do something like that. And individually they can function, but guess what? When they function together is when they really accomplish something. So these cells in our body, and as we use this analogy, we begin to realize that as part of the whole worldwide body of Christ, we are just a cell here. Each individual is a cell. But as we work collectively here at Bethel Worship Center, we get to do things like support ministries all over the world. We support Jewish Voice from right here, making sure that Jonathan and his ministry is able to minister to the Jewish people all over the world and bring many of them to Israel if they want to go. I'm excited about being a part of that ministry.
Amen.
That's exciting stuff, because from right here as a little cell, Pastor Rob Barber has an opportunity to touch the lives of people all over the world.
Amen.
And each one of you are doing exactly that same thing.
Yes.
We support Life Outreach International that feeds children and drills wells all over the world, but particularly in Africa, in places in Africa where it's so needed. Poor Children's Assistance Program in Haiti. We've been supporting them for years. That's, you know, as a small cell of the body, you are doing a part of that. You're reaching out and touching them. Carrie Rouse, all of you know that we support Carrie Rouse. She's a local girl, went to Soul Harvest, received Christ as her personal Savior, and now she's ministering in Haiti. Praise God that we have that kind of impact.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
I want you to see how this cell thing works. Because you're willing, you come in here on Sunday mornings, you take your dollars out of your pocket and you put them in the offering, you believe in the Word of God, you trust God, and those dollars are going out into the world and touching people. Look, I get frustrated when people say things like, that Bethel Worship Center, all they are about money. They don't know us. How can they say such a ridiculous thing?
That's right.
Are we about money? No. We need money. We operate with money.
Yeah.
It takes money. But are we all about money? No, we're all about Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We're all about ministry. We're all about reaching out and touching the lives of individuals in the name of Jesus Christ. These ministries that I'm talking about, listen, they are ministering to thousands and thousands of people. You have a part of that. As a little cell in the body of Christ, you are doing your job and you're ministering to thousands of people. I think that's exciting. Vision for Africa. We all know we support that ministry. They were here not long ago sharing with us. Praise God. I believe they went back. They're back in Africa now. But, you know, they're not ministering to thousands, but they're doing their part, and we're doing our part to help them. ACLJ, how many know ACLJ, Jay Sekulow? His ministry fights for the rights of Christians here in the United States. These ministries are impacting the world. That means you are impacting the world. In a regional perspective, if you think about the body, and you think about cells, we're one or two. Two or more cells come together and perform a specific function. They're called tissue. And when two or more types of tissue come together, guess what we have? Organs. Organs function. And on a regional perspective, if we look at it like that, we are an organ here in our area, in our regional area. We're just one organ which is functioning with other organs that are doing a work to minister to people in our very region and area. It's exciting stuff. And we do that collectively with other churches as we celebrate recovery, as we support Good Works Homeless Shelter in Athens, as we support Mid Valley Christian School. Praise God for that Christian school. In these ministries, Pregnancy Resource Center, every month, we as an organ are part of the function of the body of Christ. Right here in our own church, we have a benevolence fund. For last year, we're able to reach out into this very community and help people who needed a hand up. Not a hand out, they needed a hand up. They're having a difficult time. Everybody goes through those sometimes. We were able to support our community and our area with $1,200 worth of giving. That's not bad for a church our size. And then, when you start thinking about us as a local body, the human body is everything that makes up who we are, who I am as a person. The major parts of the body are the head, the neck, the torso, the arms, the legs, the parts that we see. You know, all these other things are really important, but we see this part. And this is the part that I see. When I stand up here, I see arms and legs and torsos and parts, body parts, that I know some of you are not functioning where you're supposed to be functioning. Now, that's not a criticism. That's an encouragement. I just want you all. See, part of our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is every member serving. We want you to serve. We want you to be an active part. Not just for us, but you are fulfilling the overall call of God in your life when you serve. And there's nothing like serving and feeling like you're fulfilling the call of God in your life. Service. Look, we put a lot of emphasis on the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. People get up in front of us. We put a lot of emphasis on music ministry. And praise God for our music ministers and our worship team. Hallelujah. But listen, we can function without them. The body of Christ can function without that. I don't want to. You know, I love it. I love what we do. It's exciting. It's good. It brings me. It allows me to enter into the presence of God. But we don't have to have it. And we don't have to have, I mean, we have in the body of Christ, there are some wonderful, elegant, powerful preachers and teachers of the Word of God. But we can get by without them. All we need is some podunk country boy like Pastor Rob Barber who will teach you the Word of God. Amen. Because that's what it's all about. It's not about how elegant we are. It's about the Word of God and the power in the Word. So we can function without all that stuff, but we can't function without you, without the body being what it's supposed to be. Amen. Moving and doing and accomplishing. Local body. Locally, let me share some things with you that we do. Some of them you already know about, some of them maybe you don't. Our children's church and our youth ministry. Praise God for Dot Norman. Amen. Everybody look back there at Dot Norman. Hallelujah. Amen. You're right. Yeah, God gets the glory. But you get a little bit of praise. Because you are functioning where God has placed you, regardless of how difficult it has been for you, regardless of the fact that you didn't like children to begin with. God changed your heart.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. And you're doing what God's called you to do.
Yes.
Our children's ministry, our youth ministry. Praise God for Jessica and Randy, Joel, who stepped up to fill a void.
Yes, sir.
And they're loving it. God's using them. Our teaching and preaching ministries. We have so many teachers and preachers in this congregation. Hallelujah. I'm excited about it. We're going to start using those people in different avenues, and particularly in life groups. We're getting ready to do some expansion in our life groups. I want everybody to be aware and know what's going on. We're going to expand these life groups. I believe they're the lifeblood of the church because we form relationship in life groups. It's wonderful that we're here on Sunday morning. I love every one of you, but I don't get to know you from up here. And you don't get to know the people around you. We really need to have relationship with each other. We have to have community if church is going to be what it's supposed to be. Community. Of course, music ministry, which includes our sound and media people. Hallelujah. Praise God for sound the media. Amen. Thank you. Boy. People who step up. Greeters, ushers, helps ministry. Every Sunday morning, all these people step up so that we can do what we do here. Our community center, our Upward program, the thrift store, the Man No More, the Christmas giveaway, That's all, you know, you are all making that happen, and you're functioning in it as the body of Christ. And I'm seeing the majority of you sitting in here this morning, I know you're working. I know you're doing what God has called you to do. Some of you know what you are, what you're supposed to be doing. Some of you don't. We're going to get that work. We're going to work on that so that everybody is fitting into their place in the body.
Yes.
Benevolence ministry within this body. If I had my figures right, it's about $1,600 last year that was poured into people's lives in this church. People who just needed some help, needed something. We're helping one another. We're becoming and doing and being the body. Church is not this place.
That's right.
This is, praise God, we have a wonderful sanctuary. We have a great church. Hallelujah. I got the corn burner working. We have good warm heat. I want to thank Leland for helping out with that. Praise God. But, you know, church, believe it or not, the Church of Jesus Christ can meet in a barn.
Amen, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
I hope it never comes to that, but if it does, we will do it.
That's right.
Because it's not about our surroundings, our facilities. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and doing His work, accomplishing His will. Praise God for those padded seats that we have. And the warmth. You know, God, I'm not saying I want to get rid of any of this stuff. I just want us to put everything in perspective. You know, I read a story about a pastor who got a call one day. And a guy called him up and said, Pastor, I want to join your church. And the pastor said, okay, what, you want to become a member? And he said, yeah, I want to become a member. But he said, I want to tell you something. I can't commit to anything. I just want to be a member. And he questioned him a little bit. And he said, well, you know, why do you want to be a member? And he said, well, he said, I just feel that it's important to be a part of a religious organization. So the pastor talked to him a little bit, and he said, okay, well, I can't really help you because we just don't take members like that. But I can give you a name of a place that you can go to, and you'll fit right in. And he said, okay. He said, give me a phone number. And he said, no, I'll just give you an address. So he wrote the address down. He gave him the address, and the guy wrote it down. That was Monday. The Tuesday, the guy went to this place. It was on Wednesday night. He went to a Wednesday evening service. He thought he was going to a Wednesday evening service. He drove up to this place, and it was an old, dilapidated country church. The roof was falling in. The siding was coming off. The doors were falling off. The guy said, man, I must have the wrong place. He went back. He called the pastor the next day, and he said, Pastor, you must have given me the wrong address. And the pastor said, no, that was the right address. You see, the members of that church were not committed either. And every church where we have people who are not committed, that's what's going to happen to them. That's why we don't need you here. Now, that seems pretty harsh, doesn't it? But come on. We want to be real. You know, I don't expect everybody who walks in those doors today to start working in children's ministry or any ministry tomorrow. We'll give you 3 days.
Two.
All right. We understand there's a growth process. We need to get to know everybody and that sort of thing. But we have to understand there is commitment. Praise God. We have a group of people. We hope next week to recognize people who have committed to this church as new members. We have several who have done that. Jim Evans taught that class. I wanted him to be here. We were planning on doing that this week. We'll do it next week. But it's exciting. We have people who desire more. They went through the class. There's more classes that we desire for people to be involved with. We have spiritual journey classes. We want to establish a Bible school curriculum. We're working on that. We'd like to have that done. Myself and the elders are working on that. We're hoping to have that done by the fall this year so that we can just continue to grow as people. And recognize that there's more to this thing than just meeting on Sunday mornings.
Amen.
There's a growth process. We've got to become stronger and bigger and better for our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. The third thing that I want to talk about is that within the body of Christ, God appoints servant leaders. Titus chapter 1. Okay, let's see if I'm in the right place. Yeah. Verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I command you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, any kind of debauchery, or being rebellious in any way, that's what he's talking about. For a bishop must be blameless. Now, he's using the word elder and bishop interchangeably here. Must be blameless as a steward of God and not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to, for sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Okay, what is he talking about here? He's talking about leaders that are appointed to the body of Christ. He calls them elders, he calls them bishops. In fact, throughout the New Testament, there's actually three terms that are used: elders, bishop, and presbytery. Elder is a term for the rank, usually an older person, but it's also a position, a rank. A bishop is an overseer. The office of an elder is basically when he's talking about bishop. And presbytery is it's the group, the body of elders. Now, when you have a prophetic presbytery, it does not necessarily have to be the body of elders. It has to be people who are mature in the Word of God and have the gift of prophecy in their life. So, from time to time, we may have prophetic presbyteries here, because it's an important part of the body of Christ. But what I want you to understand is that God appoints certain people to walk in this office as an elder, as a leader in the church, as someone who oversees the church, as someone who is called by God to make sure that everything is being done decently and in order. Guess what? According to the Word of God, you're to submit to your elders in the body. Those who are in leadership. We don't like the word submit because we see it as a negative, but it's not. You willfully submit your life to people who are spiritually looking out for you or watching over the flock, trying to make sure that no wolves come in and devour you.
That's right.
Where no ungodly word is being preached or taught. Mm-hmm. And overcoming people. And people are being taken off track. It's important that we have these kind of leaders in the body. Listen, the last thing I want to do is run anyone off from this body. You know, I love you all. I want you to be a part of it. But I also want you to have great respect for the men, the women that God has called in leadership here. We have elders and we have deacons. The deacons oversee the finances by the elders allow or give responsibilities to the deacons. We believe that's very much Word of God to oversee the finances. And we trust them to do that. They have responsibility. Each deacon and elder deserves your respect and your honor. You should honor them. You should not be going around bad-mouthing them. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you're tearing somebody down who's trying to do the work of God, you're going to reap the words that you speak about them. It's important that we understand this principle. I don't want you to elevate me, the elders, the deacons, to a point where you worship us. That has nothing to do with it. It has to do with respect and honor that we have lost in this nation. We no longer understand that. We no longer teach our children to respect their elders. Kids say all kinds of crazy things about parents and older people because they've not been brought up to respect. They've been brought up on Nickelodeon or Disney.
Yes, sir.
And buddy, I'm going to tell you, they're not showing children how to respect. Be careful. Be careful what you allow them to see, what they're a part of. It's important that we see that God has placed certain leaders among us so that we can all do and accomplish and be what God wants us to be.
Amen.
Who we are in Christ. Honor them. Respect them. And recognize that from time to time, discipline is a part of what leadership has to do. That doesn't mean that we walk around with this big club waiting for somebody to do something wrong. Boom! No. Whack-a-mole! I thought of that because my grandkids had this whack-a-mole thing out the other day playing with it. But sometimes that's what we think about. We think that, you know, the leaders are just sitting around waiting for one of us mole people to jump up so we can be smacked on the head. Whack a Bethel person. Hallelujah. Otis said, I got this one. That's not what it's all about. But discipline is a part of life. And if we can give you some direction and keep you from straying and going in a direction that will hurt you and hurt your family and maybe even hurt other people, we want to do that. You know, if I have some inside information about things that you're doing and I come to you and say, listen, this is not godly. This is not right. You have one of two options. You can either repent and recognize, yeah, that's not right, or you can get mad and blow me off and probably leave the church. But what is my motive behind that? Is it because I don't like you? I just want to whack you? No. Because I love you. We want to keep you on track. I want this to go in the right direction for you, for your life. You know, I don't talk about this much, but when I was growing up, my mom had a drug problem. Some of you know where I'm going with this. She's sitting over there laughing. Yes. I can't just leave it there, huh? Okay, all right. I will explain. My parents were Bible-believing, godly people, that live the Word of God. Now, they didn't just speak it and tell us, you know, do what I say, not what I do. They lived it. My mom and my dad both had drug problems. They drug me to church Sunday morning. They drug me to church Sunday night. They drug me to church on Wednesdays. And believe me, sometimes I didn't like it. But thank God my mom had a drug problem. I'm excited about it now. It was the right thing. It was a good thing. And your children may squirm. Your children may get upset. Your children may not even sit in the chair like they're supposed to. They might do something that somebody else gets upset about. So what?
Yes, that's right.
Drag them to church. Get them here. I want them to be a part of what's going on here at Bethel Worship Center. I want their lives to be directed and changed. And they may not like it. You know, sometime they may like it now, but sometime in the future they may not like it. It's okay. Eventually they will rise up and call you blessed because you taught them the right things. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Next week we are having a ministry fair and life group fair, which means that we are going to have some booths set up so that people can see some of the ministries that need help. Maybe you can fit into, be a part of some of the life groups that we have so that you can get involved with that. We just want this to be an opportunity for this congregation. So we're going to do that next week and the following week. I'm going to continue with this series about a separate necessary part, being a part of the body, so that we can just recognize how important it is that we get plugged in as the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Everybody bow your head with me. Father, our desire is just to be servants, to serve you. As a pastor here at Bethel, Lord, I want nothing more than to just be in your service. Direct me, Lord, and I want to be so close to you that I'm your friend, and I recognize you as my friend. I've always wanted to serve, and I believe the people here want to serve. But I know you desire friendship. Lord, allow us to get to that point where we just recognize you as our friend. And we serve you, and we do the things we do because of the love that we have for our friend. Direct us, Father, in all these things that we will glorify you and lift you up wherever we go. Father, as we leave this place today, we're going out there as individual selves, as part of the body. We can impact the lives of other people and bring new cells into your body, replenish the body, and cause it to function appropriately and with strength and power. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.